and this is a great thing. Now I know that it's cutting it pretty short. We had a full house in Gold Beach, and it was a little bit hard to get out of there this morning, but we made it pretty close, but we made it. You know, today we celebrate our freedom. And in this nation, there's many other nations that compare to as far as the mountains, as far as the ocean, as far as the valleys, as far as the homes. But there is no nation in the entire world that compares to the freedom that this nation bestows upon its citizens. And I know that there's many questions as to those freedoms, but I can guarantee you, living in other countries, it doesn't take very long to see what great freedoms we have in this country. So it is with joy that we should celebrate our independence today. But I'm going to be talking to you about this morning about a day that supersedes all nationality independence days. About a day that is an independence day for the entire universe. A day of independence for the human race. Proclaim your independence. Pray with me as we start this morning. Our Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that you have blessed us to live for such a time as this and a country such as this. And we thank you, Lord, for the sacrifices that have been made so that we may have freedom. And as we spend some time in your word this morning, we pray that we will realize the freedom that you give us and embrace it, for we ask it all in your name. Amen. You know, the word freedom has the word free in it. But as you know, freedom is not free. During World War I and World War II combined, over 50 million human beings gave their life. If we put all wars combined, there has been millions and millions upon millions that have died for freedom. Right now, you may know somebody, or you may be a friend or a neighbor of somebody that may have lost a son in the battle for freedom. Freedom is not free. Freedom is not cheap. Freedom is not easy. Freedom takes strength, battle, and more than anything, freedom in most cases cost life. If you have your Bible, go to the book of John. John 19, 28. I'm reading from the NIV. John 19, 28. If you have it, say amen with me. It simply says, later, knowing that all was now completed, and so that the scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, I am thirsty. A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of hyssop plant, and lifted it up to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, it is finished. With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. This is not a big boom moment in the Bible, if you will. This is relatively a quiet moment. This is a somber moment of somebody laying their head down, bowing their head, and giving up the ghost. Somebody putting their head down and breathing their last. Somebody dying. Now, you and I know that death is a horrible thing. None of us like to experience it with our friends, our family, or anybody. Death can be terrible. Death reminds us that we are slaves to sin, that this is the penalty of sin. And the death of Jesus for his disciples was a terrible blow. They thought this was the end. They figured that he had come down to set up a new kingdom, and with his death, that dream was over. The death of Jesus happened just as death happens every day. He breathed his last. But there's something that he exclaimed here. He said, "It is finished. It is done. It is complete." And we want to find out this morning, what was it that was complete? Go to Colossians with me this morning. The book of Colossians is one of those small books in the New Testament. If you find 1 Corinthians, go real slow. After 1 Corinthians, you'll find a series of small little books. After you find Philippians, you'll find Colossians. Colossians chapter 2, beginning with verse 8. You have it? If not, look it up here, and you can still say amen. Colossians 2:8. See to it that no one takes you captive through the hollow and deceptive philosophy which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of the world rather than on Christ. We can do a sermon just on that right there. Right? But it is important that the writer says here, see it that no one takes you captive through the deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and basic principles of this world rather than on Christ. Now it tells us why that is. Verse 9, for in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. That means that God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit were all together in Jesus Christ. That means that Jesus Christ was God personified. That means that Jesus Christ was God. It continues, verse 10. And you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head of every power and authority. In him you were also circumcised in the putting off of the sinful nature, not with the circumcision done by the hands of men, but with the circumcision done by Christ, having been buried with him in baptism and raised with him through your faith in the power of God who raised him from the dead. So Jesus Christ goes to the tomb. He's at the cross. Keep your finger there in Colossians. We'll come back. He's sitting at the cross. He puts his head down, and he dies. He gives up the ghost. He breathes his last. The disciples think that this is a defeated moment for them. They are afraid for their lives. They go hiding. But Jesus, remember, said he would resurrect after the third day. At the third day, God raises him up. He comes back to life. He is alive again. He has conquered death. Now look, it continues, verse 13. When you were dead in your sins, the writer speaks, and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all of our sins. having canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and the authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Oh, folks, everybody should have said amen at that. You see, this is the moment of independence. This is the moment of independence for humanity. Because at the cross, Jesus Christ becomes victorious over sin. And because of the cross, and because us accepting Jesus, we can become victorious over sin. We don't have to be a slave to sin anymore. We don't need to suffer the condemnation of sin. Because Jesus nailed the condemnation that belonged to us to the cross. And when he nailed it to the cross, it means that he took it upon himself to take our sins. You see, we all know that sin is separation from God. And separation from God naturally brings death. Now, there's two kinds of death, and I'm not going to get into all the details here this morning. This is for another sermon. But there's two kinds of deaths in the Bible. There's what we call the first death, which the Bible refers to as sleep. Okay, that's what happens when we die. We go to the grave. We give up the breath that is in us. The body goes back to the grave, and then it turns into dust again, just like it was at the beginning. The breath goes back to God. And God holds that breath until the second coming, when resurrection happens. That's the first death. The second death, however, if you go to the book of Revelation, we can see it a little bit better. Revelation chapter 20. Revelation is the last book of the Bible. Revelation chapter 20, 14 and 15. I want you to see this one because this one is important. What we have here is, let me give you some background here. What we have here is the devil has been condemned to 1,000 years of solitude. Everything and everyone around him is dead. So he doesn't have anybody to tempt. So for 1,000 years, he has been chained up. After that, all of them are resurrected. All the wicked are resurrected after the 1,000 years. They go in front of the great white throne, chapter 20, beginning with verse 11, and that's where they're judged. At the end of the judgment, this is what they receive. Verse 14, 20:14. Then death, you have it over here, and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is what? The second death. Now look at verse 15. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Now, this is not a lake, folks, where you go swimming. This is not a lake where you take your kids for a 4th of July picnic. This is not a lake where you go fishing, because you're not going to find anything there. This is a lake of complete eradication. This is a lake that there is no coming back from. Remember, as the wicked are resurrected, the New Jerusalem is coming down from heaven. The devil is released. He goes and talks to all of the wicked ones and says, God has taken our city that belongs to us. And he manages again to deceive everybody, and everybody comes charging at the city. As they charge the New Jerusalem, what comes down from heaven? Fire comes down from heaven and devours them. And they are completely eradicated and destroyed. Folks, that's the second death. From the second death, there is no coming back. From the second death, there is no resurrection. The second death is a complete eradication of sin. Complete eradication of the person who carries sin in them. There is no coming back from that. That is the death that Jesus saved us from at the cross. We don't have to be afraid of the second death right now if we believe in Jesus Christ. We don't have to suffer that death only if we reject Jesus Christ. Because then naturally, you see what takes place. But our name can be written in the Lamb's Book of Life, because God has taken our place. Let's go back to Colossians real quick. Let me bring out a couple of other points here. Verse 14, it says, Colossians 2:14 again, it says that having canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us, he took it and he nailed it to the cross. When a person died on a cross, usually their crime was displayed, the reason why they died. You see, today, folks, and even before Jesus died on the cross, every human being, because of sin, deserves to die. At the very beginning, Adam and Eve were in the garden, no sin. Lucifer comes in, he deceives them. They become sinners, and they should have died at that moment. But the only reason they did not die was because a little lamb died for them in their stead, which represented Jesus Christ. Later on, we see it through the sanctuary. We see it working its way. There was a condemnation as soon as sin came into this world that every human being should die the second death. But Jesus Christ took that condemnation at the cross and he nailed it against us. No more can it stand. It is done. It is finished. There is no more condemnation in Jesus Christ. He fulfilled the law so that we may be saved. Look at verse 15 again. This is important. It says, and having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. You see, we have to go back and we have to realize, this is so important that I'm going to come down here and speak to you. When Jesus came down and he died at the cross, he reclaimed what the devil had taken away. You remember that at the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve were set as caretakers of the garden. But when the devil deceived them, who became the representative of this planet? Satan became the representative of this planet. We see that in the book of Job, where the sons of God show up to heaven, and Lucifer is among them representing our planet. He had usurped this planet, taken it by deceit and force, and he was a representative of this planet until the cross. Because you see, at the cross, look at it again, this is going to make sense to you, having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle. Jesus Christ, who his disciples and the Romans and the Jews thought that by putting him on the cross, he was going to be a public spectacle of shame. Jesus Christ made a public spectacle of his power and authority by defeating the serpent at the cross. It was at the cross that the serpent's head was crushed. He was a defeated foe. And today, we fight a defeated foe. But we must understand that we should have been the ones on that tree. we must understand that it was for our transgressions that he was there on that tree. As a matter of fact, let's really make it clear. Let's go to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah, it's about the middle of the Bible. If you find Psalms, just go a little bit further. Isaiah 53. Now, you have read this chapter, and you probably know it by memory. But today, I want you to do something just a little bit different. Once you have it, say amen, as you always do. And then, just follow along with your eyes. Just let the words sink into your soul. Just let it apply to your life. Put yourself in the picture of what's happening here. Make it personal. Because again, what was done at the cross was done for you. Do you have it? Isaiah 53? Everybody should have it. Everybody should say amen. Because this is important. Isaiah 53. Just listen. I'm going to read the whole chapter for you. It's only 12 verses, so it's not that long. Isaiah 53. Who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering, like one from whom men hid their faces. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Yet we consider him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each one of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And he was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open up his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is silent, so he did not open up his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, and who can speak of his descendants? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was stricken. He was assigned a grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, though he had not done no violence, nor was there any deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and to cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life a guilt offering, he will see his offspring and prolong his days. And the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. After the suffering of his soul, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, for he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. If you put yourself in this picture, and if you put yourself in this situation, you should see very clearly that it was for my sin, that it was for your sin, that Jesus Christ went to the cross. It was because of our iniquities, and he willingly gave up his life to go there, to save us, to save our life, so that we wouldn't have to die that horrible second death. It reminds me of a story of a soldier. You know, in this country, we give the government gives, the greatest medal they can give is the Medal of Honor. And this Medal of Honor you can achieve one or two ways. By giving your life so that others might be saved, or by putting your life in extreme danger and saving many. Most get the Medal of Honor for sacrificing their life. There was a soldier, not in this country. He was guarding a dam. There was war going on in this country. He was guarding a dam, taking care, protecting the dam. Unbeknownst to him, the enemy had come in, several enemies had come in, and had wired the complete dam with dynamite. They were ready to blow up the dam. And if they blew up the dam, not only would there be destruction and death of those around them, but there was people down the river that would be flooded and died. The soldier, along with his squadron, saw or skimmers going on, so they start following him. The one soldier stayed behind, and he kind of saw what was going on, and he realized that this dam was about to be blown up. So he runs to where he thinks that the detonator is, and he gets there right in time as the enemy was coming to detonate the bomb. He pulls his rifle out, and he says, "You will not blow this dam." He was getting ready to protect the dam. He was getting ready to save people. And as a matter of fact, that enemy that he had captured there in the act of about to destroy, he should have died. He should have pulled the trigger in his rifle. But he says, no one needs to die. You have 3 minutes, he told the enemy. You better run for it. And the guy did. The soldier saved not only the lives of his companions, but the lives of many. Jesus Christ has done the same for us. He has saved us. We don't need to die the second death. We can be free from the second death because of what Jesus has done for us. He stepped in. The devil would have taken us out long time ago, folks. He would have set that detonator long time ago, were it not for Jesus stepping in. Stepping in with his arms. Stepping in with his life. You see, Jesus Christ said at the cross, "It is finished. It is finished. It is complete," he said. And we must understand, and again, I'm just going to give you just a quick review here because I can take all afternoon and I know you're getting hungry. But Jesus said, "It is finished," at the cross. And yes, there was a work that was completely finished at the cross. But the Bible lets us know in the book of Daniel and Revelation that Jesus Christ, after he resurrected, he rose up to heaven to make sure that his sacrifice was accepted. After he was in heaven, he came back down and for 40 days encouraged his apostles and disciples and sent them on a mission. After that, he went up to heaven again. And today, Jesus Christ is doing a work in heaven for you and I. And because of that work, we can claim the blood of Jesus over us and be free from sin. But there's one day, folks, and that day is going to be very soon. I hope it's today. But that day is coming when Jesus, in the courts of heaven, is going to say again, "It is finished. It is completely done." And he will rip through the clouds and come and get his children. When we can for sure, oh, for sure, we can claim happy independence at the cross. But we can for sure shout for joy and experience real independence when he comes. Oh, it'll be a wonderful day. It'll be a day of glory. You cannot imagine what that day is going to be like. 1 Corinthians 15, just let me give you a little bit here just to think about it. 1 Corinthians 15. Oh, just the things that are going to happen. We talked a little bit about death. 1 Corinthians 15, I'm just going to go ahead here. Even if you don't have it, just say amen to give me encouragement here. 1 Corinthians 15:51 says, listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? You see, the cross is a moment of definition where Christ defeated the devil. Where our freedom, where our salvation was assured. But there's coming a greater day when Jesus Christ again is going to exclaim, it is finished. And he will come through those clouds and we will be changed. No more pain, no more sorrow. No more headaches, no more heartache, no more death, no more crying. I know some like crying, but there'll be no more crying. There'll be no more nothing, only joy. The joy of complete freedom in Jesus Christ. Now, let me tell you something. Right now, we haven't seen the complete evidence of independence. Even in this country today, some of our freedoms are being threatened. And we live in a world where the devil is still active. He's trying to destroy us. He's trying to keep us from God. And I know that some of us may be suffering dearly right now with what the enemy is trying to do to us. But, folks, we have a general who has won the war. We have a general who is leading us. And all we have to do is pledge allegiance to him. You see, you may not know it, but you have dual citizenship. You may not know it, but you have citizenship of this country, but you're also citizens of a kingdom to come. Pledge allegiance to the Lamb who gave his life that you might be saved. Listen to this song real quick as my wife sings. To pledge allegiance to Jesus Christ. You must make a decision for Jesus Christ. If you haven't in the past, now is the time to make a decision. Now is the time to follow our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Pray with me. Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much for coming down and taking our place. We thank you for dying on the cross. And Lord, there isn't anything that we can do today to repay you for what you did. but Lord, we could pledge allegiance to you. And Lord, I pray right now that your Holy Spirit will move in our hearts to be faithful to you. That nothing, Lord, will separate us from the love of God. And I pray, Lord, right now that if there is somebody here that has never accepted you as their personal Savior and Master and Lord of their life, that right now, Lord, in the silence of this place, that they would speak to you and ask you to come into their hearts. Lord, we look forward to the day when we will all be changed. We look forward to the day when you will come in the clouds to get us. Help us, Lord, to be faithful. And thank you so much for giving us freedom in Jesus Christ. It is in his name that we pray. Amen. Happy 4th of July. Enjoy the fireworks tonight, but look forward to the great fireworks that are going to come when he comes in the clouds. May God bless you.